This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Right microphone. How many years have I been in this room? 20? All right, welcome into the Gus Bradley Show for the HananiaAutos.com studio. We'll restart. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach, Gus Bradley. You have been busy this week. It has been a very busy week for the Jaguars. You pull the cord. You make the trade. Eugene Monroe is now in Baltimore, and Luke Jokel slides over, and then we find out in the last hour that you've added a linebacker from Seattle, John Latulele.
Yep. That's right.
And Kyle Knox is off the roster right now. I mean, this is a nonstop process for you. Is it going to be this way all season?
Well, you know what? When you look at your roster, you have, 63 members. And,
you're counting the practice squad for those who might not.
That's right, counting the practice squad. And I think you're always competing to look at your bottom third of your roster, including the practice squad. And, that means picking up guys off waivers and evaluating them. You'd like to get to the point where you have your bottom third set, that where you can continue to develop them. But you're always competing, trying to find ways to get better, and sometimes it requires change.
You know, we worked with you and taped your coach's television show on Tuesday evening and got home and did a couple things and then looked at Twitter and said, Jaguars have traded Eugene Monroe. How long was that in the process, Coach? Is that something you've been thinking about?
No. Or? You know what? We generally... Dave Hallett, he called me in on, I believe it was Tuesday late afternoon, and filled me in on what was going on. So, he knew earlier that day that there might be a chance. And we had constant communication. And, when it came up, that I had some things on my mind, I think, at that during the show.
Yeah. How challenging is that for a coaching staff to be able to massage/manage the team when something like this goes down?
Well, that's always your first concern, is the team. And we had a good Wednesday meeting. I really just laid it out for him. Just gave him all the information, said, here's what took place. Eugene's a great person, a great man, respect him greatly, but it's also the NFL, and these things occur. And, we wish him the best, but how we proceed from here on out is important. And our guys handle it very well. I mean, they were hurting. They, care for Eugene, want to make sure he's happy and doing well. But, they also understand that we got to move forward, and they did.
Also, reading Eugene's comments, just wanted to say I thought he handled it very well.
He was. I called him that night. First class in our conversations, and really loved Jacksonville. Loved being here and a part of what we're doing here. And, so that's what makes it tough. And he's always been so good to me. The first day that I met him, through this whole process, he's been one of my biggest supporters.
You've always used that term, uncomfortable. And something like this sometimes can make guys uncomfortable. When you're 0-4, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, you know what? It's I'm sure there are a lot of thoughts went through a lot of people's head, including our coaching staff. And, you just have to sit down and think about it and go through the whole thing and understand, for us as coaches too, it's part of the NFL, and changes take place. And, we're always competing to find ways to make us better. I think the biggest thing for our guys was, does this move help us get better right now? And I think that's probably what was troubling to them, was, does this make us better right now? And I think that we that's what we had to explain to them. And that is a tough proposition or a tough thing to explain to players. But in the big picture, for what we need to do this year, we felt like it was.
Well, now getting to the after effect, Luke slides to left tackle. Austin Pasdor is going to play right tackle. How have they looked in the 2 days of practice?
You know what? I called Luke and gave him the news afterwards about Eugene, and Eugene was good to him. And then I said, okay, Luke, now you're also moving to left tackle. And you could see the excitement. He was generally excited about the move. And, and then Austin Pasdor, Cam Bradfield, they get a chance to compete. Those two guys were really excited about the opportunity. So I think through the whole thing, they generate excitement for you. And we really had a good practice on Wednesday.
So you watch the tape. Obviously, you do too, Coach. How was right tackle for Luke? You know, my read on his comments was he's ready to get over to the left side and play where he feels most comfortable. And Jeff and Tony have talked about the adjustment to him a little bit.
Right. You know, he hadn't played right tackle in college, but I thought he did a good job. There's always that adjustment time.
You bet.
And what I give Luke a lot of credit for was he really locked in the right tackle. Not once did he bring up, oh, I wish I was a left tackle, or could I move to left tackle, or could I get reps at left tackle. He was solely focused on being the best right tackle he could be, and there's going to be some adjustment. Just like when he moves to left tackle now, there's going to be some adjustment time for him. But he's such a good athlete, such a good player. Hopefully that adjustment time is short.
And the adjustment is not just for him. I mean, it's really for everybody, because now Uche has a new guy beside him, and, right. and Will Rackley has a new guy beside him, and Brad Meeser, when he looks left and right, seeing different guys.
You're right. You know, but that's part of us trying to grow. And, you know, Luke was going to end up being our left tackle. We all knew that. Sometime in the future, it just happened quicker than we thought. And but I really, you know, Wednesday's practice, even Georgiano talked, the players talked, they said the communication was better. The ability to play and play tighter on our fits and our assignments was better. So, you know, maybe Austin and Cam bring that communication along with it. Maybe it's a better fit to have Will and Luke together.
Well, you know, Jed Fish said in his comments around noontime today that they were forced to communicate, and so the communication was exceptional.
Yeah. That's probably the right way to say it. I think because of the newness, they were forced to communicate, yeah. And that's what they did. And it felt smoother. And even our defensive line commented to me. They said, Gus, it was different on Wednesday. How they came off the ball, how they attacked us, it just felt a lot different.
They better communicate. Yeah. Robert Quinn, Chris Long.
Get ready, big boy.
You had to bring that up, huh?
Hey, before we step aside for our first break, anything you can tell us about the new linebacker? Now, people will say, oh, he's from Seattle. Of course he's from Seattle. That's where Gus was. But this is a rookie free agent.
Yeah, I didn't know this young man. We watched him on tape, Dave and I. Any spare time that we have, which isn't much, we try to get together and watch some of these guys that are put on waivers. And, you know, he was impressive, really impressive on special teams. And we felt like, you know what, we're always trying to evaluate our bottom third of our roster. Let's always try to improve. And we felt like special teams-wise that we just got better.
All right, folks, you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Jaguars and Rams coming up Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff Eastern time here on the Jaguars Radio Network. When we come back, we'll start looking at the Rams with the head coach of the Jaguars here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. 2 days of practice in the books, getting ready for your game on Sunday in St. Louis. The Rams, a team you know, having been in the NFC West the last couple of years. Thoughts, just a big picture. Now, this was a team that was 7-8-1 a year ago, 4-1-1 in the division. So obviously, you know, they have their sights set on really taking a big step forward this year.
Right. I really thought they were a team on the rise. Facing them last year, you just felt like they were starting to put it together, playing really good defense. Offense at time could score points, other times weren't able to execute. And you felt like with another year and going through OTAs and minicamp, if they got their offense going, they could be a really, really good team because they do have a lot of talent. But here we go again. It's that execution and, you know, putting together and everybody playing well together. They've had some tough opponents the first couple of games, but you know, they've got a lot of talent on their team.
Yeah, that really stands out to me is that, I mean, they have some talent, but they're so young.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, you know, ever since Les Snead and Jeff Fisher started last year, I mean, they have revamped the roster. They're in year two, and they had the good fortune of trading that second overall pick for RG3, that was where he was drafted at.
Treasure trove of picks.
For a lot of picks, and across the roster is draft picks.
Right. And, you know, Jeff did a good job. He got Cortland Finnegan, you know, with free agency.
You know him well.
You know, this year, Cook, you know, they got him off free agency. So he's looking for some of that veteran leadership to help out these younger guys. And, you know, I still believe, just watching them on film, they are a talented team, and they play well at times. It's just that inconsistency at times shows up.
The biggest, I mean, the place where you look and see the most talent is what Jeff alluded to in our last segment. That is up front with those two ends. You know, Long from Virginia, Howie's son, pedigree, what's he got, 43 sacks?
Yeah.
I mean, in his career already, and coming off back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. And then Quinn, the other guy, came into the league a few years ago with a knee injury. The Rams were patient, and he's become a star.
Yeah, very talented on the perimeter and very talented inside. They do a good job getting push, obviously, with 48 sacks, I believe, last year, and they've added to that depth. You know, they can get pressure on the quarterback. So we have to be mindful of that, especially with, you know, our offensive line now getting a chance to play some different positions. And hopefully with some of our execution, we can slow it down.
When you talk about mindful of that, I mean, you're talking about scheme, right? I mean, maybe helping out, you know, an extra guy in protection and taking one out in the routes or the route tree, right?
Right. And, you know, there's some things that you can do, you know, whether it's chipping or sliding the protection or emptying the backfield and trying to get it out quick. You know, there's some things that we can do that. But the number one thing is for all of us, as we all understand, if you can establish some sort of a run game.
Just about to go there, Coach.
You know, it really takes pressure off of you. The play passes now generate more. And, you know, we're still we understand that there's going to be games where it might be low numbers of rushing. But we're going to stay, you know, convicted, and we're going to still try to find ways to get the run going.
You know, it's been said that you can make big differences with little changes. Now, is that the case here? Can you change a few things here and get it running? Are you close, or is it, you know, structural where you've got to revamp it to get it going where you want it?
Right. I think, you know, the challenge for us is that, you know, let's say if you look at your offensive package and you have 100% of it, 90% of it you'd like to keep consistent. And just have trust that you keep working out, the techniques will come, the communication will come, and you'll get better. Now there's that 10% that I think you have to be creative. You have to look and say, okay, what can we do to take some pressure off of our guys and put pressure on the defense? And that's the 10% that I think we're trying to be flexible with and looking at and try to come up with different things to see how effective they can be in a part of our run game.
One thing that's going to give you some flexibility this week is having Justin Blackmon back. How much will that help?
Well, Justin's been great the last 4 weeks as far as in our building and with our team. He's done everything that we've asked, meeting with me, meeting with our players, and he's really come in good shape. I know I talked to him earlier today about his conditioning and his legs, and he feels really good. So, you know, I think just his spirit, what he brings to our team. I know Blaine loves to have him now along with Cecil. I think it uplifts the whole team.
Well, and one player gives you a lot of flexibility because now all of a sudden you can do different things with Ace Sanders. I mean, I remember watching Ace lined up against Sean Smith. Ace is 5'8", Sean Smith is 6'3", on opening day. And again, in Seattle, you know. I mean,
right.
You got to get him in better situations.
And I think, you know, it caused those guys to learn multiple positions. And now they can really kind of lock into the position that they're going to be playing. And hopefully execution will follow.
A big picture question here. How good and how smart was it by the National Football League to allow a guy like Justin Blackmon, who had a substance suspension, to allow him to continue to be in the meetings, to continue to work out with your staff, not on the practice field or around on game day, but how big is that?
It's a huge deal. I mean, we were able to take him with us on the West Coast trip. And because of that, our strength coach could work with him. He could be involved in all our team meetings, our position meetings. So when he came back, he was right on pace with everybody else. He just didn't get the practice reps. But you can imagine if you're not even in the building or around to come back in 4 weeks, not only on the playing field being in shape, but also, you know, the mental side of it. So great move by the NFL.
But also just from an emotional standpoint, here's a guy that, you know, whatever the problem may be, but to have the support of his family.
Right. You know, I think that's where he feels the most comfortable, to be honest with you. He loves his teammates. He loves everything about what's going on. And I think he has a certain comfort level when he's in this building and with our team.
All right, this portion of the Gus Bradley Show brought to you by Fanatics.com. Metro PCS call-in lines are open. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. We're back with head coach Gus Bradley after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars at the St. Louis Rams. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff Eastern time. We'll get things started for those of you listening in the Jacksonville area with the Public's Tailgate Show at 10 a.m. Pick up the entire network at noon, and then, of course, kickoff whistle-to-whistle coverage followed by Jaguars postgame. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and, of course, head coach Gus Bradley. Let's go to the phone lines. Craig is in Chesapeake, Virginia, and up first on the Gus Bradley Show. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Craig. How you doing?
Good, good. Coach Gus, by the way, I think you're doing a fantastic job with the team. I can see what you've done, how you revamped them, and I can steadily see improvement each and every week. So hats off to you. Great job for what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
I kind of have a two-part question here. I think this is the first week that we'll get to see the puzzle put together. You know, we get Ace in the slot and guys like Justin and Cecil on the outside that could potentially create a mismatch and open up the running game. How about Denard Robinson being able to touch the ball more? I notice that every time he makes a mistake, we really don't see him on offense for the rest of the game.
Well, that's a great question. You know, and Denard is showing some talent, some skill set, and we really tried to utilize him, try to find different ways to get him the ball. And I think, Craig, what we're finding out is maybe, you know, we need to take a look at him at running back. I think he's got the skill set, the quickness. He sees things really well. And as I said before, we're trying to find and learn more about our players. And I think that's what we're finding out Denard's strengths are.
Yeah, because if he's going to be a wide receiver, you got to trust him to catch it.
Yeah. And you know what? But when he carries the ball and sees things, we saw him in preseason, right? Jump cut and attack the line of scrimmage and redirect and come back. And you know, those are traits that you look for in a running back that can make something out of nothing. And we need to take a look at him in that part.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Craig. Let's grab Jim, who's on the south side of Jacksonville, up next. You can join us also, 800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. Jim, you're on with the Jaguars head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, y'all. Good evening, Coach. I'd like to ask you a question about Justin Blackmon scheming him this weekend. Is he aware that he doesn't have to win the game for us, that no matter what the outcome is, we still, you know he's the man and everything? Because I know he's a very aggressive person. I didn't know if maybe he had, like, some trips formations or something, that way to utilize it for his blocking ability to get a little bit of that nervous tension off that I think any NFL player with the passion that he does would have.
Well, you know what? That's a great question, Jim, because I did talk to Justin about that. That here he is, he's coming back for his first game, and, you know, now what? And he really just needs to go out there and perform like he does in practice. He could get caught up in it. He could try to do too much. He could go out there and have all that energy like you were talking about. But he's really done a good job the last 2 days in practice. He goes out there, he's competing, similar to what I saw him when we had OTAs and those practices, so in training camp. So hopefully he can remain in that area. And, you know, I think that's how he's going to perform at his highest ability.
The thing that impressed me the most about him in training camp was how competitive he was day in and day out in training camp against himself, against the defenders. I mean, he seemed to have a fantastic training camp.
Well, you know, Cecil's done a great job with our receivers as far as trying to elevate everybody's level of play. And with Justin Black back there now, I think that they elevate each other. And it's kind of a two-man show now where they're, okay, Ace, here's how we're going to do it. And, you know, I think Cecil appreciates it as well. But tremendous competitor, both those guys, tremendous.
How has Cecil been this week after having some drops?
Oh, he's good. He's been really well. He's nursing a little bit of a tightness in his groin, but he competes. He comes out there, and, you know, he'll put in hours before and after. And he's been really good for Justin as well.
You know, such a young player still. I mean, we think of him now because last year he became the guy, and he's been the guy the first month of this season. He's still, I mean, from a small school, only in his third season,
right.
Didn't play a lot as a rookie. I mean, a game like Sunday where a couple go off of his hands, if you don't have the right disposition, it could be trouble.
You know what I think was impressive about Cecil is this, is he went out there and maybe was a little bit of an unknown and did really well. Well, he's no longer an unknown. Teams know who he is and where he's at and where he's at the field. So with that comes skewed coverages, you know, rolling down to him. And that was my conversation with Cecil. When you get better, this is what happens. And you still have to find ways to elevate your play. And he did that in Seattle, and he had some opportunities in the Indianapolis game too. So he just keeps getting better, and I think that he's got a bright, bright future.
All right, one more call before our next break. We'll go Joey in St. John's, down a little south towards Ponte Vedra in that area. Hello, Joey, how are you?
Good. This is directed at Coach Bradley, but it's not necessarily a question as much as it is a statement, and I would like his response to it. But Coach Bradley, I can say I was watching the game this past weekend and watch all the games, and I probably speak very, for most Jaguar fans, and the one thing I can say is that for the last 10 years, we are just so sick of seeing other people's wide receivers run wide open, and yet when our wide receivers come up to the and take off, they're always covered. And it's just, it's unbelievable. And I think it's just an offensive philosophy more than anything else. People always talk about talent, but it's amazing. Not every single team can have more talent than us. And I'm just wanting to know, are you guys really going to address stuff like that? Because that's what's so frustrating more than anything else.
Well, I think that there's some credit to what you're saying, Joey. I think when you look at it, some of the things that we're doing is with stacks and bunches and trying to create mismatches that way. And you know what? I think there's times when we do see them open. And through timing issues, we're not connecting as well as we need to. But, overall, I think that, any game that you watch, you see some tight coverages and guys just making some fantastic plays, or they get the time, to get the ball off to make fantastic plays.
Can I add one comment here?
Sure.
Don't ever assume you speak for everybody.
Yeah, that's generally a mistake.
Let me just add that.
Yeah, that's generally a mistake. I do want to add this in, though, real quick, and that is that when you get a guy like Justin Blackmon back, all of a sudden it makes it easier for other guys to get open, doesn't it?
Right, because, generally teams, they look at matchups, and they feel like, can we go man here? And they could play man coverage and send a robber, an extra safety, over the top of Cecil. And sometimes it appears like you're not getting open. But, with Justin, I think those things will help. You'll see some more zone coverages. You'll see where they can't skew things one way or the other.
And the better the run game, the better the guy on the
That's
other
right.
side, the less skewed you get.
That's right.
All right,
the Gus
Bradley
right.
Show brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about Blaine Gabbert. Look more at the St. Louis Rams and take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. This is the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along with the head coach, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Gus Bradley here. You can join us on the Metro PCS call-in lines at 800-355-NFL1 or simply 355-6351. Hard to believe that we're 35 minutes into the show and we're just finally getting to your quarterback. But some thoughts on the first performance back. Obviously, we've talked about three interceptions and, not being as poor as a lot of people may have thought. But how did he respond this week?
He was great. Like I said earlier, Justin Blackmon and Blaine and Chad went out. And through, I think it was on Tuesday, our off day, they went out there and worked out. Been meeting with Jed. He comes in here early. He's been in the office. I see him more than anybody else. So he really has. Like I said, I feel stronger about him. The one that Cecil had that was a pick six, there's some questions
on what
happened.
Missed call on that.
There's some questions on what happened.
I can say that.
So it was a pick, but, that's what we see on tape, some things like that that may have occurred that, maybe it's quick for others to blame Blaine on that, but we see it. We saw what happened on the play. So, but he's really responded well.
How hard is that, to look beyond the result and really look before that and to look at the play itself?
Well, I think you're just trying to find the truth, and that's what we're trying to do with all of our guys. You're trying to find their strengths. You're trying to find the truth to what they can do and what they do well. And when you're evaluating tape that closely, you pick up on some things like that.
What's the one area that he needs to get better at now?
Well, Blaine got hit quite a bit in the Indy game. And, I think some people would say, boy, he needs to have his poise. But he stood in the pocket and took some hits. And so I think that part of it is probably a misperception or conception on what he is. I think just the ability, if we can give him time, and now that he's got Justin and Cecil back, we'll find more about Blaine, this week.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. The other guy this week, Maurice Jones-Drew, has been a hot topic of conversation. His overall health, Coach, when you get him out on the practice field, do you have to give him extra time off?
No, you know what? Now, this is the first week that Maurice went every day. So he went on Wednesday. He's going on Thursday. He'll go tomorrow, Saturday. So he's fighting through that, but he looked really good this week. And I wouldn't say that he's 100%, but he's a lot closer than he has been. And you, even today, you saw him, some of the runs he made. It just looked like it was a different tempo. So hopefully we get the mojo back.
Even with him kind of coming back into health, do you still have a game plan for rotation to make sure that he's, you know, still working back?
Right. Well, I think what we'd like to do is give chance for Mojo to get going. I think that's, you know, what we need to do. And, you know, when you look at offensive stats and defensive stats, here's how generally coordinators look at. A defensive coordinator, if they give up 140 yards rushing, they'll say, well, we really only gave up 80 if you take out those two explosive runs. And an offensive coach will say, that's how it works. We go 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 50. 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 50. You know, that's how it works.
Right.
You know, you just keep going and going. And that's where we have to get to. It might be 2 yards. It might be 3 yards. But we've got to stick with it long enough to give us a chance to get that explosive run.
All right. We take a break and return. More with head coach Gus Bradley. And again, you can join us on the Metro PCS call-in lines, 355-NFL1. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lagerman. You can join us, 355-NFL1. Let's grab a quick call. Ron is over in Mandarin. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Good.
Good. Wanted to just check. You probably get to it at some point, but how's Mercedes doing?
You know, I just talked to him in the training room before I came in here, and he was receiving treatment, and he's going to get another special kind of treatment on that calf. Another specialist is going to see him. And, you know, it's one of those things that he gets frustrated over it because you can't see it. You can walk, you can get around, but anytime he gets down and puts pressure on it, that's when it feels the strain. And it's just one of those things where he's not comfortable yet. And, you know, I don't know how long it'll be. It'll be interesting to see. These things can linger on or they could get better in 2 days. So we just have to be patient, wait and see what happens.
That's to stress you guys somewhat, too, because, I mean, you have a player, he's active on game day, then bang, first couple plays, I mean, he's not available. And, you know, the game plan kind of said, hey, we're going to have him, and we've got certain things built for that.
Right. Yeah, you have to be able to adjust. When you know going into the week that he's not going to be available, at least you can game plan accordingly. But to have it happen so early in the game, it forces you to adjust, but you have to adjust.
He's such a big, important part of what you do with the running game, too, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, at the point of attack, that's really his strength. I don't know if there's a better blocking tight end that we've seen at that position. And, you know, not to have him, but, you know, it hurts us at times with our running game, so we'll have to adjust.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. You know, explosive plays is obviously always a big concern for a defense. And as a defense, that's got to be an area of focus for you guys, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I think we did a study on explosive plays, and a team generally averages through the length of a season around six to, you know, I think it's around seven a game. Seven explosive plays is, you know, a better than average defense.
Before you go beyond that, tell people what an explosive play is. What qualifies a
okay.
play?
Yeah, an explosive play is a run over 12 yards and a pass over 16. So you take a look at a defense and see how many explosive plays they're giving up. If they're averaging around seven, that's pretty good. It's really good. You know, and we had 11 last week. And, you know, that's why that number needs to come down. The run, we gave up two. That's pretty, you know, I'd say at the end of the season, if a team is giving up, you know, 35, 40 explosive runs, that's better than average. So, you know, the run is calmed down some. It's just the pass now that we have to, you know, take a stronger look at.
355-NFL1. Let's grab Josh in Arlington up next for Gus. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Coach. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Josh?
Good. Hey, I'm glad you're our coach. I mean, I think about this time last year, we started to have kind of an issue, and it seemed like the players were almost like not losing their motivation, but they weren't happy with the outcome. it seems like you're able to keep a positive spin in the locker room, but they come out and compete every first quarter, you know, and they come out on the field all fired up, and it's kind of exciting to see. I mean, what do you do to the players to keep them motivated?
Well, I don't think it's so much a credit to me or our coaching staff. It's more our players. We really got good guys, good character guys, and it's really important to them, Josh. And, you know, my job, that makes that part easy, to go out there and know that what you're going to get out of them. And, you know, I think that really looking at all the games, that has one thing that we've done. We've continued to play hard. Our spirit has been great throughout the games. And times it's tough. You know, if you look at the scoreboard, it can get you down a little bit. But I give our players a lot of credit for their performance in those situations.
Appreciate the call, Josh. One more before our next timeout. We'll go with Lucas up the road in Yulee. Lucas, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for being our coach. I just want to say that, you know, not all the fans are all upset and angry about 0-4. You know, like, we see where this is going, and we see that this is going in a positive direction. You know, we see Cyprian out there making plays. We see, you know, Evans, all the young guys, you know, all the guys that, you and Dave brought in. Like, we see what's going to happen, and, you know, y'all getting more draft picks with Monroe. We see the positive step forward, that this is about the future, and we appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate those comments. You know, it's we do. We are excited about some of the things that we're doing, and I think for us as a coaching staff and the players, we really want to happen fast. I'm right with you, and we want to happen this week. And that's our entire focus. And we know the future, you know, we're going to get this thing right. But we don't want to wait till next year. We don't want to wait till January to work on it. We want to work on it right now and get this thing right. And, you know, our players' attitude is there, so we got to coach them up.
Lucas brought up an interesting point because he mentioned Jonathan Cyprian and Josh Evans. And Josh got the start this last week because of Dwight Lowry's concussion. He impressed the heck out of me.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give Dwight a lot of credit because he was a big reason why those two guys were able and ready to play at such a young age. He really took them under their wing and helped develop them and coached them up. And, you know, they're developing a chemistry back there because they're new and because they're young. I think that the communication is open. And until Dwight gets back, you know, it's exciting to see those two guys and see how they respond week in and week out.
All right, more to come with head coach Gus Bradley after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here towards the top of the hour. For those of you in Jacksonville, stick with us. Tony Boselli and newly named Pride of the Jaguars member Mark Brunell step in for Jaguars Thursday. We don't see the Rams very much around here. Obviously, they're in the NFC, NFC West, Jaguars in the AFC South. Tell us about Sam Bradford. First overall pick in 2010, the last really big moneyed quarterback at that huge deal. Big, strong guy, Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think the big thing for Sam is having confidence in his receivers. And, for example, last year they had Danny Amendola. And Sam, when he has confidence in somebody, that's who he's going to. And he developed a rapport with him, and it seemed like any critical time, that's where he's going. Now, that this year, it's Cook, the big tight end. That's who he's going to. And I think they had Tavon Austin, hopefully would take over for Danny Amendola. There's a little bit of a learning curve there. He's Pettis and the other receivers he likes. But that's the guy he really likes to go to. And I know they worked on their timing in the offseason, but that's what you see on tape at times struggling. You know, it's either a great throw and a drop pass or an overthrown ball. And I think they're just looking for that rhythm to where they can start connecting.
And that rhythm, it seems like they're really trying to force the ball at times to Tavon Austin, who was the eighth overall pick in the draft, and I guess possesses 4.34 speed.
Yeah, exciting player now. You know, and all the, like, the punt returns, he might run 30 yards to the east and west before he goes, but he has the ability to break it, and they're hoping for that same type of speed and that athleticism to show up on the offensive side.
Big, I mean, he's not big. No. He's a small guy, but had big numbers in college. I mean,
yeah,
he averaged something like 235 yards a game.
Right, so. And West Virginia used him in the backfield as a running back and then put him out and put him at slot, put him at Z, And the Rams are starting to do that. You're seeing him go back into the backfield in some of their so-called empty looks. They'll put him back there and create a one-back look with him.
They throw the ball almost 75% of the time. Almost.
It, right.
I mean, that just seems like that's what they do. Do they even try to run the ball?
Well, they try. And, you know, I know they're trying to make a commitment to do that this week. And they've got to get back into some sort of a running game. When you throw that many times, it's hard to win in the NFL. You have to establish some sort of a running game, and they understand that, and that's why we think, you know, initially they'll try to establish the run.
It looks like they're trying to find their way with all those young running backs. You know, a couple of them were draft picks last year, and then they have this year's pick, Zach Stacy from Vanderbilt. You know, you may see all of them, or you may see somebody that hasn't even been on film yet.
Right. You know, and some of their offensive linemen are new, and I'm sure they're going through some of the same challenges that we're going through, and it does take time. And we just got to make sure that we get in there and try to get them one-dimensional as soon as possible.
All right, final timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the Gus Bradley Show for this week. And you're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, we're back to wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show. The Jaguars on the road in the Dome in St. Louis, an indoor game. That's this is me saying this, not you, being a St. Louis native. It's a convention center. It's kind of an unusual place.
Well, you know what? I don't know if they do this on purpose or not, but I know when I was in Seattle, we used to come down there and the lights were dim and it was dark, you know?
Yep.
And it was almost like, you know, when I was in Seattle, we came down there and it was like a 10 in the morning game. And it was almost like they were trying to keep us asleep.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see when we're coming from Jacksonville what it would be like. But it is. I mean, one thing we can count on is the surface and the climate and things like that. And I know Brian and Josh are excited to play there and for their opportunities as well.
Now that you've passed what would be the quarter point of a season, what do you want to see out of your team in these next few weeks?
Well, you know what? Obviously, improvement is big. And I think what I do is I look back and I say, okay, I don't just evaluate wins and losses, although that's big. I think I try to look at everything that touches this program and this organization. And I look at all those areas and say, are we getting better in each of those areas? And if the answer is yes, then continue. And if we're not, then we need to reevaluate. And 95% of the things that we're doing, it feels right. And our players, I believe they feel it's right. So you say, all right, we're getting better in those areas, so let's continue. Special teams, we're getting better. Continue. Defense, we've got some young players, some guys that are learning a new system, but you're seeing opportunities. We had 4 possible interceptions. We're going for the ball now. You're seeing signs of us playing faster. Continue. Offensively, well, a running game, we're struggling a little bit. So that's the part that we're saying, all right, let's reevaluate it. Let's reevaluate it. But there's so many aspects of it that are getting better that we just need to stay true and continue with how we're doing it. And I think for the players, that's so important to have that consistency and that strength, especially coming from our coaching staff.
Special teams thought here. Obviously, your punter is a guy who had a 61-yarder last week. You're going to need that kind of performance.
His best game
this week, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think they're starting to get into a rhythm. Josh hit the big field goal. Those guys, too, they'll start getting a rhythm. What I like about them is they're so rock solid. I mean, nothing really phases them. They might not hit a punt 60 yards. It might be 38, but it doesn't phase them. They go out there the next time, and then he hits a big one. And I think that consistency will come because of that.
And the one thing for the team as a whole, knock down the number of penalties.
No doubt, especially the ones that are under our control. You know, if there are aggressive penalties, that sometimes can happen. But the ones that are in our control and are foolish penalties, we have to knock those out.
All right, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff, Jaguars at the Edward Jones Dome to take on the Rams. And we'll, of course, have every down right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Coach, thanks so much. Best of luck the rest of your week.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Coach Gus Bradley, for those of you in Jacksonville, stay tuned. Buscelli and Brunell making their way in for Jaguars Thursday right after this.